few years ago, I went to a conference in Oxford, England. It was a cold, rainy, and raw April, not unusual for England, but romantic in a way. With early morning mists hovering over the canals that thread in and around the city. The gardens seemed to burst out from behind the giant gates of ancient university courtyards and soaring stone buildings. A few days in, Deborah, a colleague of mine from Stanford, also arrived. She was deeply involved in the content of this conference and in high demand from presenters and the attendees alike, meeting tables of people in the hotel dining room at 7 a.m. for breakfast, having one-on-ones over tea and coffee, and squeezing in appointments between presentations nearly all day long. One morning, later in the week, I came down to breakfast fairly early and found Deborah sitting in a chair in the hallway between the lobby and the dining room, crying. I gave her a hug, my instinctive reaction to pretty much every emotion, and found out that while she was here on one side of the world, back in California, her beloved dog was dying. Her dog was being lovingly cared for by her husband, but Deborah was faced with a moment of deep pain and a decision. All she really wanted to do was get on a plane and go home. But she also knew that by the time she arrived, it might already be too late to say goodbye. And at the conference were people who needed her. She and they had invested time, energy, and many resources into creating this powerful moment for connecting around sustainable solutions to much bigger problems than the one she faced now. And yet, the pain of her loss was palpable, and the decision was not an easy one to face. Did I mention that Deborah is Buddhist? She is. I had noticed earlier in the week that there was a Buddhist monk at the conference. His bright saffron robes and shaved head were hard to miss in the cold gray English weather. "Would you like me to find him?" I asked. "Perhaps he would have something to say that could help." "Thank you," she said, "but no. I already know what he will tell me." She stood up and gave me another hug. "I'm going to go walk along the canals for a while and be my own monk. I'll tell myself all the things I know I need to hear, and I'll see you later at the main presentation." Let's all aspire to create a navigational practice as strong as Deborah's. One that's so familiar that in honest moments of difficulty, you can be your own monk. Telling yourself what you already know you believe. Making those tough decisions easier to make. Be your own monk is a part of my own manifesto now. My manifesto, like all the best kinds of navigational practices, doesn't tell me what's right or wrong in every instance. Rather, it makes clear to me what I believe, and I make the decisions. This book will show you how to use the tools of design to create your own manifesto. You'll learn how to identify your values and beliefs, articulate the behaviors that represent them, and craft them into a personal manifesto that you can use every day as a tool for making decisions and taking action. A personal manifesto is the Swiss Army knife of self-awareness. Your manifesto can give you the confidence to take risks that are important to you and be persistent about pursuing goals you actually care about. You can use it to synthesize new ideas and knowledge, react to change with coherence and consistency, inform your intuition, be authentic with others, and avoid situations that lead to regret. Your manifesto can be the life raft you build to keep your head above the waters of change, travel the oceans of new technology and complexity, and work your work a little wiser every day. Recruit yourself. In Latin, manifesto refers to an action given with the hand, manus, an encapsulation of belief intended to be public and passed from person to person. You might be familiar with political manifestos like the Communist Manifesto or religious manifestos known as creeds. Credo means I believe in Latin. These are methods for the expression of personal beliefs, but also powerful tools for public recruitment to collective causes and political movements. In Europe, after the invention of movable type and the adoption of printing presses, many more people gained access to reading and writing as methods of learning and expression. The broadcast and development of new ideas, discoveries, and beliefs accelerated the development of individual rights and liberties through successive movements for social change. Manifestos were both a proclamation of new ideas and an invitation to participate as a part of these movements. People have continued to produce ideas and exchange them as manifestos as far and as fast as each new broadcast medium can take them.